7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Up next, we are going to be talking about a statement that came from Johor DAP Chairman Liu Chin Tong, who said it's going to be a clash among three major political coalitions, Barisan Nasional, Pakatan Harapan and Perikatan Nasional, to form the next government in GE15, which is, you know, somewhat new considering that previous elections really focused on two major coalitions. So we're going to take the opportunity for the remaining 20 minutes, really, to look at the statement and also to catch up on what's going on with DAP.
Yes. So if we look at what's happening with Pakatan Harapan at the moment, you know, the coalition has stated that there is a need to engage and cooperate with any party based on this principle of reform, benefiting the rakyat. And they've said that the only exception is the kleptocrats. And the first Big Tent Act, quote unquote, was actually to petition among the MPs to reopen parliament. Meanwhile, if you look over at DAP, there have been their own internal struggles as well, including debates on attracting the Malay electorate and how to leave behind a quote-unquote Chinese-dominated image. There's also been discussions on whether they might work together with UMNO, for instance. Yesterday on The Breakfast Grill, we did speak to the National Organising Secretary of DAP, Anthony Lok, and he said that the party hasn't ruled out that possibility. So a lot of rumblings, a lot of things changing as we move towards the election. But that question of a three-cornered fight, I think, is what would prove to be a game changer for us politically, something that we're not quite used to.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to look at that a bit more closely, right? Especially because there are pretty large overlaps in terms of voter interest between those three coalitions. And all this is happening, as you say, you know, against the backdrop of DAP itself having some public disagreements. So joining us now to discuss this is Liu Chin Tong, Johor DAP chairman and the National Political Education Director of DAP. If you'd like to weigh in or send us any thoughts, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Chin Tong, thanks for joining us. So we referenced this earlier. Yesterday morning, Anthony Lok told BFM that the party will not rule out working with UMNO in the event that there isn't a clear winner in the next GE. What are your comments?
I think post-election scenarios are difficult to predict. What is important is now that we have to be prepared to win and win without UMNO. Whatever happened post-election, we'll see what happened by then. Now, it's important to remember that UMNO is not a singular entity. UMNO at the moment in itself is a three kingdom. There's one faction aligned to Zahid Hamidi and Najib. There's another faction aligned to Mat Hasan, together with the Johor and Perak state leadership. And there's also a third faction, which is actually the Muhyiddin's faction that includes Hishamuddin Hussein and Anwar Musa. Now, the Hishamuddin or the Muhyiddin faction is there in UMNO to destroy UMNO and to align UMNO with Muhyiddin. So these are factors at play, and it is going to play out in the months to come. And that having that knowledge, I think there's no point to think about what happened after election.
So as we said earlier, you've stated that the coming GE will be a tussle among three coalitions, PH, PN and BN, as opposed to the two main coalitions that we've seen in the past. How will this impact the next election?
The last election was actually also a three-corner fight between UMNO, PAS and Pakatan Harapan. The coming election is very likely to be one that is UMNO on one side, together with perhaps MCA, with or without MCA, we have no idea. So what we know is that MIC is closer to Perikatan now, but MCA has a problem because if MCA joins Perikatan, UMNO will challenge MCA in seats like Aitam and Tanjung Pi, and that may not necessarily be MCA may not be able to withstand the challenge by UMNO in their own turf. So those are the dynamics that will play out in the months to come. But we have UMNO on one side, then we have Perikatan, and we have Pakatan Harapan, and Pakatan Harapan as well as other opposition parties. So those are the dynamics in the coming election. Now, it is hard for UMNO to attract non-Malay support. It is also very hard for Perikatan to attract non-Malay support. But Pakatan, if we can actually consolidate and we can find the right formula, if we can present a coalition of ideas, coalitions of issues and concern, eventually, if we can present a coherent platform and to win 40% Malay support, 80% non-Malay support, with a 40-80 arrangement, eventually, I think Pakatan Harapan may emerge as the next ruling party.
So from where you're standing then, what do voters want from political parties in the next GE?
I think the voters want to see a clear idea which way Malaysia will move towards. Whoever is going to promise that they are going to run the country, they cannot just campaign on negativity. In the last election, Pakatan was very successful in campaigning against Najib. Moving into the next election, we cannot just campaign against the Perikatan government because UMNO is also doing a good job against Perikatan. But the point is, we must be able to construct a vision. We must be able to bring people together, bring people around a vision, and there must be enough people who are inspired to believe that there will be a better Malaysia. And we must be able to utilize our experience in government to show that there are better days ahead. So that sort of inspired movement, inspirations, hope is important. And we need policy platform. We need to showcase the talent pool that we have. So the next election is not just about a negative campaign against Muhyiddin or the Perikatan government. It is a positive campaign to rebuild Malaysia.
So there have been a lot of reports about internal divisions when it comes to the direction that DAP wants to take moving forward. How serious are these differences?
I think, there are different opinions. There are voices, noises. But the point is that it's a positive thing for the DAP that we are quarreling about our future direction. We are not a typical party that in other cases where it was only just about personalities. The whole debate is about which way the party should go. And I think that is the plus point for the DAP. But eventually, I believe most DAP members will come together, come around to a Malaysian approach. As a national leader, we are not there to divide, we are there to unite. So the national leadership of DAP will have to convince our ground. We have to convince our ground. We have to explain to our ground. Sometimes our ground may be skeptical of our views. And it takes a lot of effort. Definitely it takes a lot of effort because the mainstream discourse of this nation is still very communal, still very ethnic-based or race-based. So to advance a Malaysian approach is always difficult. But is it something that is a lost cause? I don't think so. I think it is a cause worth fighting for. It takes time. It takes patience. And eventually, I believe that we can unite the party towards the same goal.
So, Chin Tong, you mentioned the need for Pakatan Harapan to present a clear idea of what kind of Malaysia you're fighting for. And time and again, the suggestion to establish a shadow cabinet has come up. How important is that?
To me, if we have a shadow cabinet, it is good. Even if we do not have a shadow cabinet, it's important to project a team of 20. I had an opportunity to speak to Dato Sri Anwar about a month ago in the meeting. I say the time of presenting just the prime ministerial candidate is over. We need to present the prime ministerial candidate, and it is Anwar. Fair. That is good. But beyond presenting a prime ministerial candidate, we need to present a team of 20 or a team of 30. We need to present this in order to contrast with other coalitions. Because we are talking about three coalitions fighting. And UMNO cannot line up 20 top leaders. So UMNO doesn't have 20 iconic leaders who can convince the public that they can bring the nation forward. Perikatan doesn't have 20 iconic figure who has standing among the voters. But Pakatan and our friends we do have 20 iconic national brands that we could present. So it's very important, specifically, do you want to call it a shadow cabinet? It doesn't really matter. But in terms of the way we present ourselves to the voters in the coming election, it is not just about prime minister candidate. It is a team that we have to present.
And recently you were quoted with saying that a remark on the leadership and management of DAP, and you said that the party should transform from a grocery into a supermarket. Could you elaborate what you meant on that?
The DAP was a very small party. Many people were afraid of joining DAP because they were afraid of the repercussion of being associated with a permanent opposition party. DAP was only tasting a bit of power at the state level from 2008 onwards. We were forming state government in Penang. We were part of the Perak and Selangor state government from 2008 onwards. In 2008, at the National Congress, there were 800 delegates. But on last Sunday, just the Johor State Convention, we had 1,487 delegates. So the party has grown tremendously, but we have not updated our software. We have not updated the way we manage communication within the party. We have not expanded the size of our staff to commensurate with the growth of the party. So we must see ourselves now as a hypermarket, as a supermarket. And we must find space for a lot more people to contribute within the DAP platform. We must create a lot more platform for those who believe in our causes to contribute at all levels. So I think that is something that I hope to see. I hope to see that the DAP will grow together with our members and to grow as a formidable and very organized force that can last for at least the next 10 years, if not more.
You know, finally, the party has been facing the struggle of shedding its image as a Chinese-only party. Can you talk to us about how you plan to move on from that?
So to me, the DAP has never aspired to be a Chinese party. When I started in 1999, at that point of time, MCA was doing very well. To the extent MCA, Gerakan, they were doing very well to the extent that Lim Kit Siang lost in Bukit Bendera in 1999 and Kapasing Singh lost in Jelutong in the same election. At that point of time, we were trying to fight the battle, telling the non-Malays, telling the Chinese, you do not have to vote for MCA. As a Chinese, you have no obligation and you're not obliged to vote for MCA. I see now that our struggle is to tell the Malays, to tell the Indians, to tell everyone, a Malay is not obliged to vote for UMNO. A Malay is not obliged to vote for a Malay party. A Muslim do not have to vote for PAS. Now, so I think we're struggling with all this, and we have been telling Malay leaders that they should not approach the nation by becoming Malay first. We think that everyone should put Malaysia first. Likewise, we will have to be consistent and to explain to Chinese supporters of the DAP that we are not placing Chinese first, we are placing Malaysian first, and we are urging everyone to place Malaysian first. So it is a very difficult process. It is a long struggle. But, I mean, we managed to tell most Chinese you don't have to vote for MCA. You don't have to vote for a Chinese party. Now it's time to tell everyone, stay the course. Stay the course. Let's tell everyone that we could vote for a Malaysian party. And the DAP has to be there holding up to say that we are a Malaysian party. We are a party that believes that we are all Malaysian citizens and we participate in the Malaysian political process as citizens.
Chin Tong, thank you for speaking with us. That was Liu Chin Tong, Johor DAP Chairman, as well as the National Political Education Director of DAP, talking about some of the reasons why the party's been in the news lately, as well as, I guess, more broadly, looking forward to a three-cornered fight in GE15. Now, we've been asking you for your thoughts, and we do have a message from Vino.
So Vino says, in my opinion, looking back at what has transpired in our political arena over the past year and at the moment, is there a need to vote? What happens after GE15? Lanka Hilton, PN, BN, PH, convince us to vote in the first place. Your manifesto can come later.
Oh, you know, whenever we talk about politics, there is always this tone, and I completely understand where you're coming from, Vino. I think that that's why so much anger has been directed towards politicians over the last year. It's for this exact reason. Don't invalidate our voice, you know, and our voice is most strongly heard in the ballot box. This is also reflected in our last message for this evening from Apek Panda,
who says, as long as there's a chance of a backdoor government, no matter who wins, they might not last. I voted for Pakatan Harapan last GE. Half the promises by Gobind Singh didn't materialise, but I will still vote for DAP because of all the good they've done for the community.
So there you go. I think still a mixed bag, and still, I think, Vino, your point about convincing people to vote in the first place is going to matter. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, keep those thoughts coming. We have the 7:30 news followed by Popcorn Culture and our review of Nobody. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.